Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It is a lovely, lovely Monday here in Pittsburgh.
Monday morning.
Is it Monday? I don't even know what day it is anymore, Matt, to be honest with you. Days of the week don't matter anymore for us.
Your schedule's been taxed more than mine, but we had a fun weekend in Canton.
And we had a weekend in Canton.
We had a weekend in Canton. Yeah, you had some long nights and some escapades, and you were there a lot longer than me. I could see where your days are running together, but it's camp time. I mean,
it is camp time. Yes,
we were in Latrobe. We'd be rolling out of bed and rolling down the hill, and
that's the thing,
radio.
Though.
That's
I would be rolling of it, out of right. bed to go do a show, not having to drive every
yeah,
day.
I the just, field to be right there.
Again, and people ask me, Dale, why do you like going to Latrobe?
Oh, what's not?
You just
want to
go out and go to Shark. No, I don't want to just go out and go to Sharky's.
Sharky's is fun, though.
I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm at work.
Right. It's just all there.
It's all right there.
Yep. Stroll across campus, get some lunch, go to practice, do a show. Yeah, it's a much better arrangement
it's
for
like
all.
If the,
it's so much more convenient.
All the people during the pandemic who've been working from home.
Same type of deal.
It's what we do at Latrobe.
Right.
Home.
Would you folks rather get out of bed in your jam jams and do a Zoom call or, get a shower and put makeup on and put on a suit and go to work or take the subway?
Man, I hate putting makeup on.
Which would you rather do? Well, I don't mind that. But, we got camp rolling along, though. We got another game on the horizon here. Starting to be a little bit of Groundhog Day, but
a little bit.
Well, Hall of Fame was a good breakup for me, at least. I mean, go up and back and see something different. But there's not, practice day to day. There's some news, obviously, but they're prepping for games, and we got two shows this week, and then they're going to be on the road again, and then play a game and come back. So I don't know, I'm excited for the game.
Thanks
though.
For reminding me of that.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice drive across Pennsylvania to Philadelphia. I hate that drive too. Just the worst drive. Like, I remember one year we were in Colorado. The Steelers were playing in Denver, and the Phillies had just lost to the Rockies in the NLCS.
In Denver. Gotcha.
And we're walking, me and a couple of the other guys were walking into an establishment.
A local watering hole.
Yeah. And they had a guy at the door asking for everybody's ID. As they sometimes do.
Right.
And he looked at our
boyish good looks. I mean, they weren't sure if you were of age.
He looked at our identification, and he said, Pennsylvania, we just beat your baseball team. And I looked at him like, what are you talking about? I had no idea what he was talking about. It never dawned on me he was talking about the Phillies. And then it finally hit me. I'm like, dude, that's like five and a half hours away. Like,
I'm not a geography whiz, but people from the other side of the country, all just assume
they have no idea.
It's
all in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you can walk there. Right.
That's like saying to a Bills fan, there's something about the Giants. Like they have not. There's nothing.
There's no correlation.
There's no correlation.
Like, I mean, even Bengals, Browns. I mean, they're not necessarily
opposite ends of
the
state.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a little different than like Yankees, Mets.
Yeah. But the interesting, like for Philadelphia, Baltimore's a closer drive. Washington's a closer. Washington's actually closer than Baltimore,
right?
If you MapQuest it, which is
that.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo's closer. Cleveland's obviously closer. Cincinnati's closer.
Yes.
It's like Indianapolis is just as far of a drive as it is to Philadelphia.
Yeah, Indy to Pittsburgh is the same as Pittsburgh to Philly.
Yeah,
people don't look at it that way.
No, but you get to go by Don Raper, whatever it is. In Indiana, it's a much more interesting drive because then I can tell all my Raper jokes. That
and you do it
why would
year,
that guy not change his name?
Wasn't he like a judge or a politician?
I don't know what he was, but they got
hard to be elected.
Actually, I heard Jim Gaffigan one time did a bit about
the Rapers
because is you driving as soon as you cross over the
Indiana line,
the Indiana state line, it's this huge thing. Like the guy owns an RV center, car dealership.
Oh, he's a big deal.
Big deal, apparently. But his last name that's the worst last name ever.
Not a good one. Not a good one. Your Philly logic always reminds me of like when people are like, oh, you're from Chicago. Do you know Bob? Like,
yeah.
No.
My mom does that because my wife's from Philadelphia. And like if she my what my
run
mom somebody would,
from Philly,
my
yeah.
mom would meet somebody from the Philadelphia area.
And, you must know Amy.
Oh, you did. Do you know this? Like
right.
This is not. I grew up in a very small town. This is not that.
It's not, we went to Pitt Johnstown together. Right.
Yeah. With 2,500 students.
Right.
No. This is not that.
We should probably talk about football at some point.
We should probably do that. Big night, again, for the Steelers. Alan Faneca.
Good weekend, obviously.
Yeah, going into the Hall of Fame to cap off the five people going into the Hall of Fame.
If you're well aware of having to write something up for all of them. Yeah. But it's a pretty awesome situation. There was a lot of black and gold in Canton.
It really, it was. Not quite as much yesterday as there was the day before. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
Saturday was rocking.
Indianapolis was the Colts with Peyton Manning were the...
Sure, that was the headliner.
Yeah, he was the headliner yesterday. And of course, there were some Raiders fans there for Charles Woodson.
Raiders, Cowboys, and Broncos were pretty well represented over the weekend. I mean, nothing compared to the Steelers, but they were well represented.
Yeah. But a big weekend, Alan Faneca capping it off with his speech last night. Good stuff from him. And, you know, people are already asking, well, who's the next Steeler to go in? Like...
Yeah, who is that?
It's Ben Roethlisberger.
It's got to be Ben, huh?
It's Ben Roethlisberger, yeah. The only guy... people are pushing for LC Greenwood as well, and have been for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have to go in through the senior committee, which makes it a little difficult because they only get one person on the senior
committee.
Yeah,
he kind of missed
year.
That huge run.
Yeah,
and Donnie
that was
Schell
his big chance.
You know,
had they expanded that class to say, 25 for the Centennial class, he probably gets in.
Okay, quick question for you, because we were talking about this off the air. I think it was Pro Football Reference went back and tallied the sacks of before sacks were sacks. You know, sacks became an official stat in, 79 or 80 or something?
82.
Like. 82, okay.
Yeah.
And so all of LCs in the 70s weren't registered. And I remember you were talking about this, saying Deacon Jones is like second on the list if you do the unofficial sacks as well, because he always bragged about that. And no one threw the ball back then, which is highly important. There wasn't 40, 50 attempts a game, so less sack opportunities. I remember LC was kind of high on the list to begin with. And
78 career sacks. I know where you're heading.
I was giving you time to look it up.
Which is not quite, like, he has a half sack less than Leroy Selman.
Who's in. But Selman was a tremendous player.
And he only played 8 years. Like, he had...
LC was only 8 years?
No. Selman had 78 and a half sacks in 8 years.
I mean, he was a league leader most years. Yeah. You know, times are different.
But to your point, it was a different era. Like, Joe Green has 77 and a half career sacks.
Yeah, okay.
That's the other part of the equation with LC is that they had other guys getting to the quarterback.
White had a few.
So you're kind of fighting. It's not like you were the only guy or one of two guys. You were one of four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right, it's a little different in that respect. But
with all respect to LC, I don't know that he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult.
I know Veterans Committee is a little different than the regular, but we were talking yesterday about Jared Allen and Peppers and DeMarcus Ware and all these edge guys of the modern era that are really going to fight for a spot.
You know, it's funny. We had that conversation as we were walking around, whatever day it was, this last week.
That doesn't matter.
We're all the same. About how the game has changed. Maybe we were walking back to the car yesterday and talking about the receiving numbers, how they've changed.
Yes.
The pass rush numbers have changed.
Dramatically, you're right.
I mean, if you look at the all-time leaders for sacks, and again, Pro Football Reference has gone back to 1960.
Yes.
And recorded it because they had all the game film. Mm-hmm. So somebody, think about that.
Some Porsche love, right. Yeah.
Back and marked down every sack, went back through the game books, went back through the, you know, all that stuff.
We need interns to watch tape. Oh, I'm in. Wow. I mean, I guess you could go a lot of plays without seeing a sack.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe two or three a game. You could get knockout games quick, but that's a long day doing 100 games a day or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at the all-time sack leaders, Bruce Smith with 200, Reggie White, these are the unofficial leaders all-time.
Oh, you're mixing them in. Okay.
Bruce Smith at 1, Reggie White at 2, Deacon Jones at 3, Kevin Green at 4, Julius Peppers at 5, Jack Youngblood at 6, Chris Dolman at 7, Alan Page at 8, Lawrence Taylor at 9, Michael Strahan at 10. So you can say, okay, there aren't many of
It shows that Deacon Jones might be the best pass rusher ever.
Yeah.
I mean,
they threw the ball 20 times a game back then.
I mean, the rules were the rules.
Of course, he was allowed to
slap him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, the rules
I mean,
were
he would
different.
Beat people up on his way to the quarterback.
And the blockers had to do this with their arms. You know, they couldn't use their hands. And, you know, but he also didn't give as many opportunities.
But then you start looking at some of the like Terrell Suggs is 12th all-time in sacks.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
With 139. Jason Taylor just went into the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago.
All these recently retired guys.
139 and a half. You know, you're looking
Allen and Ware that we were talking about yesterday, and you know, there's a lot of Ed Freeney you didn't mention. And
Vaughn Miller's got 106. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer at some point someday. But you start looking at these guys that had over 100, you know, and start thinking, okay, who isn't in? Well, you got DeMarcus Ware. He'll be up next year.
I say there's a ton of them coming up, starting with Peppers and Ware and these guys we talked about.
Yeah.
Jared Allen.
Because they've started putting up these big sack numbers.
Of course, right.
You know, all of a sudden.
Kevin Green was part of that group.
Yeah, you start putting up double-digit sack numbers a couple years in a row, they start to add up pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because they're throwing the ball more.
I mean, look at the pace, TJ and Garrett and Khalil Mack. I mean, some of the even older ones. They put up double digits every year. You play 10 years. I mean, it's not hard to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, J.J. Watt now has over 100 sacks. He's got
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he's got 101.
He had some big years.
Cameron Wake had 100 career sacks.
Played a long time, but
he's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not a Hall of Famer, though, right. 100 yeah. sacks ain't what it used to be, is what you're saying, right.
I mean, Justin Houston probably gets there this year. He's got 97 and a half. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, this goes back to my conversation that this era, those guys are way better than the people blocking them. And I mean, so what have we seen? A lot more three-step drops, shotgun, get it out quick. Steelers were the best example in the league. And let's stop calling holding, you know, because these guys are too good. I mean, it's a golden age of defensive linemen and pass rushers.
Yeah, we're going to see.
These guys run 4.4s and 4.5s. When I was a kid, they'd run a 5.0.
Yeah, you're going to see five or six guys go over 100 career sacks this year.
Doesn't surprise me, yeah, right.
You got now Wake is pretty much retired.
Yeah, I don't know. He'll
but Houston's going to get there. Chandler Jones has 97.
Yeah, he'll get there.
Ryan Kerrigan has 95 and a half.
Should get there. He's a part-time player, but right.
Cameron Jordan has 94 and a half.
Wow.
People don't think of him in that.
No, right. I mean, he lines up inside a lot and is a versatile do-it-all guy.
Calais Campbell's got 92. He might not get there in his career.
He might not. I mean, he's 34, I think.
Yeah.
Part-time player. But
he's already played 12 years.
Right. You know, but he's lined up on the inside a lot, too.
Yeah. Clay Matthews, he's got 91 and a half.
I don't know if he'll play again.
Jason Pierre-Paul, though, is 89.
Could.
He could get there.
Ain't what he used to be, but no. I mean, they just drafted a defensive end, but could.
Carlos Dunlap has 87 and a half.
I don't think any of those names are Hall of Famers, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. So the people pushing for LC Greenwood, it's the Hines Ward argument. Like, yes, he was a great player. He had, you know, you look at the numbers, oh, 1,000 catches. It's the most in Steelers history. But then you start comparing him to some of the other guys that he's going to be compared to over the next 4 or 5 years, and it just doesn't – like, you can't argue the
little,
stats.
Though.
You can't argue the stats.
But to me, when you judge all-time great players in Hall of Fame, the number one criteria is how did you compare to your era? And to me – I mean, I was only 5 or 6 when LC was doing it. I was born in 73. LC was a better defensive end, edge pass rusher – than Pierre Paul and Clay Matthews and some of those names.
I don't disagree.
You know what I mean?
And they played
for his era.
They played fewer games and all
less
those
opportunities.
Things. Yeah, I mean, he only had – he never played –
best defensive ends of the
never played 16 games in a season.
Or six or something, right.
But it's going to be awfully – it's going to be awfully difficult for that to happen when you look at it and say, well, he only had 78 career sacks.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, when you're presenting him – he'd have to go in the Veterans Committee, and he missed a big opportunity.
Well, if he gets into the Veterans Committee, he usually gets rubber-stamped, whoever that guy is. But it's just, I mean, there are other people on that list.
A Super 70s defender going in this year does not help his cause.
No. And that's the other part of the equation is that they get one guy every year on the Veterans Committee.
Mm-hmm. And 5 of the 11 starters off that defense are now in.
And here's part of the problem. I talked to some Hall of Fame voters over the weekend.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, they've changed these rules of late that you have to put in contributors and you have to do, you know, coaches.
I think that's good.
Except for the fact that you've run out of guys now.
Ah, that's what you're saying.
You know, like, do we really need three contributors in this last class?
Yeah, they should be, but you shouldn't have to put them
in. You shouldn't have to do it.
Right.
Because now you're taking a spot away from that Veterans Committee.
Mm-hmm. No, I see what you're saying. I think it's cool the commissioners, owners, Steve Sable, you know, guys that never were, you know, that those guys are eligible. And I thought they should always have their own wing. I've actually been lobbying that for probably 20 years. But I think you're right. Ben, you know, back to the original point, Hines Ward's not getting in. I think Ben's next. But what about Kevin Colbert or Tomlin? I think Kevin goes.
But eventually, but he
probably won't be.
Probably going to have to be retired for a couple of years before it happens.
Did GMs have to wait? Did Pullian and those guys have to wait 5 years?
I think they were retired at that point.
I think they were retired, yeah. And it was pretty clear they weren't going to come back.
But there's no, like, five-year waiting period.
I didn't think so.
Like that.
But I wonder if, like, Ozzie Newsome goes. Not just a side note. I bet Ozzie Newsome goes in at some point.
Well, he's already in.
I guess he is already.
You gonna put him in again?
The GM, right. Yeah,
probably
like
not.
Like putting LeBeau in as a defense coordinator too.
Yeah, right. Which isn't why he's in the Hall of Fame. He's in,
right.
You know, I keep hearing he's a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. No, he's a Hall of Fame player who happened to be a defensive coordinator.
He's a Hall of Famer and then became a great defensive coordinator. It's a good point about Ozzie. I guess you don't have to put him in again.
Yeah, you don't have to do it again. But I just, you know, I think one guy that hasn't been mentioned much, who I think could potentially be on that list would be Buddy Parker as well.
Yeah, you brought him up over the weekend, and that's
a name I heard of talking to. It
never would have dawned on
to some of the Hall of Fame people.
A lot of his work with the Lions.
Won a couple of league championships with the Lions. Came over to the Steelers in the '60s, and before he got to the Steelers, I mean, they were a laughing stock, and he made them. They at least started having winning records, which they hadn't done before.
Yeah, he got the Pirates to 500.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they were the worst organization.
But he had a couple of championships under his belt in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
In Detroit.
Came over with respect.
Like, Detroit's last championships.
Were Buddy Parker.
I mean, there was a long time there where the Lions hadn't won a playoff game since the '50s. Yeah. Under Buddy Parker.
You had mentioned he had a real good record against Paul Brown.
Yeah.
You know, obviously.
And was also a member of Detroit's. He was also a member of Detroit's championship team in the '30s.
Oh, wow.
As a player. Yeah.
Okay.
So there'll be some push here for Buddy Parker. Don't be surprised if you hear that name. Now, he won't be going in necessarily for his work just with the Steelers, but
right.
Was a longtime Steelers
head
coach.
Resume.
Yeah.
And it's awful difficult to turn a laughingstock into a respectable team, too.
There's no doubt. Yeah.
Nobody ever gives credit for that for these all-time awards.
And honestly, Buddy Parker's part of the reason why the Steelers are who they are now, because Buddy Parker hated rookies.
Oh, so he traded all the
So he would trade picks. He would trade draft picks for established players.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dan Rooney took over the team,
he
said, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore.
Right.
You know, we're going to go out and get
in the
70s. Use our draft picks.
The draft kind of worked out.
So it all kind of
learned from your mistakes and kind of built a respectable team but mortgaged the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have nothing against Buddy Parker. I mean, I will say I'm a little biased against the pre-19s.
You hate the 50 guy. Like, anything before you were born doesn't count in the NFL.
A little bit. They've had plenty of opportunity to get their recognition is my only point. You know, like, we're inventing new stuff's happening every day. And if you were in the 50s and you haven't gotten in by now, that was 75 years ago.
But the part of it, and this is their argument for the people who are pushing for this stuff. All right, you put in your first couple of classes.
Yeah.
Those people had to go, like, those guys had, Ray Nitschke had to go in. You know,
sure.
Those guys had to go in.
Right. Babe Ruth went in the first.
Right.
You know, right.
Then you were limited after that to a certain number of players. And at that point, you weren't really putting in a lot of coaches.
Like, that makes perfect sense.
And that hasn't really happened until the last few years that you started putting in coaches, contributors, that kind of stuff. So there's a huge backlog there.
I guess that does make some sense. If the Hall of Fame was invented in year whatever, football till that point,
there was already 40 years of football in the Hall of Fame.
Right,
was, you
and
know,
100 guys that should be in there, and you can only put five in a year after the initial class. Okay. I don't pay attention to the other Hall of Fame.
The argument that people talk about, too, when, for example, when I was presenting Troy Polamalu and somebody in the room said, well, aren't we putting in too many first-time guys? We've got this big backlog of
–
and we've got these guys who have waited. And
they're
going to fall off the list. Like Steve Atwater was ready to fall off the list of active players. And so he was in his last year of eligibility. That's why there was a big push to get him in. Like, hey, we got to get him in, or he goes into that veterans committee,
and then
there's just one every year, and he could be dead before he gets in.
Right. No, I get that. I mean, in a way, it's a flawed system. Not that there's any
perfect system.
Because some years you should put in 10, some years you should put in 2.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess, I mean, I get the argument for the older guys, but it's not like baseball all of a sudden is – let's put Three Fingers Brown in, or Cy Young's backup, you know, like
12 Finger Simpson.
Right.
Baseball does a great nicknames.
Yet, you know, right.
Whatever happened to the great nickname? That's something. Well, we're going to take a break. That's something for another segment. But
everybody just shortens it to M Dub or D Law. Or
yeah, you know, that's on, not that's, nearly that, as cool right. as you know.
Right.
Some of the great nicknames.
Oil Can Boyd. And
Bronco
like
Nagurski.
Right? Yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
Bronco. Bronco.
That's a football player.
That's a football player.
Named the team after that.
Yeah.
They didn't, but.
He is all Matt right. Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Black and Gold Fan Habit from SNR.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Matt, I don't know if you saw this one over the weekend, but Bucky Brooks put out a piece on the gold jacket candidates under 30.
Oh, okay.
We know there are some guys like J.J. Watt's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Julio Jones is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Ben their resume's Roethlisberger, yeah. written. I mean, that'd be another segment, but who could never play another snap and gets in? You know, like you said, Julio, yeah. J.J., and you know, Aaron Rodgers.
A.B.?
Yeah. I think that's a yes. No one wants to hear it. I think that's a yes.
Yeah, people in Pittsburgh aren't going to. But his body of work for like a six or 7 year span, he was the best guy in football.
I think he's one of the best 10 receivers that ever lived.
Yeah.
And that's being conservative. I think Julio Jones is like number 3 on the list, and Julio and him were the same for many years.
Yeah.
I think he's an easy one. No one wants to hear it.
But Bucky Brooks has his 5 candidates under 30.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes is on that list.
He has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I mean, the first year
obviously
he
wouldn't go
game.
In. If his career ended right now, he would not be
no,
in the
and I don't
fame.
Think that's what this list is all
that's
about.
That's not what it's about. These are guys who are on a trajectory to go into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, think about just his resume. Year one, he played one game and didn't, you know, he sat.
The 3 years since, he's been in the AFC Championship and 2 Super Bowls.
Right. And it was D4 jumping off sides away from being 3 straight Super Bowls. League MVP, has a ring, is the best player at his position. I mean, his resume is not enough yet, but is on a rocket ship to it.
46 career starts.
Mm-hmm.
His touchdown to interception ratio is 114-24.
Yeah, wow.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
The highlight tape isn't bad either.
Number 2 on his list is Quentin Nelson.
I guess.
He's not as good as Faneca and Hutchinson.
I would say I think he's a smidge overrated because the league is really hurting for star offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Like we had this conversation yesterday. There was an era.
People talk about him like he's John Hanna, for God's sakes.
Right. And he's great and he's young. And I mean, if I were to build a team around a guard, he'd be my pick at his age and all that stuff. But I don't think he's Larry Allen, you know, or Hannah or one of these type of guys. You know, like we were talking about that era yesterday of Ogden, Baselli,
Pace,
Walter Jones. And I think that hurt Baselli a little bit. You know, like those guys are better than any offensive lineman in the league right now. You know, it's not really a golden age of offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, Quentin Nelson is good. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
He's the best guard in the league right now.
I think so.
But he's not. I mean, if you were ranking all-time guards, he's down the list.
I mean, he's not at the Mahomes level.
And we just saw how long it took Hutchinson and Faneca to get into the
right. Like,
they both
had to
wait several years to get in
mm-hmm.
because of the position that they played.
I mean, at that position, you can't. At that position, you have to have longevity.
Yeah.
You know, like Baselli might get in as a tackle, which is a little more high profile. You know, but if he needs to play 8 more years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and stay healthy.
Jalen Ramsey is
I agree. Transcendent player, special talent, early draft pick, awesome everywhere he's been. He's only been 2 spots, but I think he's the best corner in the league, too.
T.J. Watt on this list.
I was wondering if his name would pop up. You know, we were talking about sacks.
He's got 49.5 in 4 years.
Like he'll probably get to 100.
Maybe in the next 3 years.
Right. You
know, if he continues at the pace that he's been at.
He's playing 17 games a year. Right. No, I think he's on that list.
His last guy on there is Lamar Jackson.
I don't know about that one. I mean, he's got an early MVP. His winning percentage is insane.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a lot of playoff wins, you know, unlike Mahomes. Mahomes is won a few every game every year. I think Lamar easily could, but
he's 30-7 as a starter. Now, that's a team stat
as much as anything.
But
he has a lot to do with it.
He's the first player to have 5,000 yards passing and 2,500 rushing yards in the first 3 years of his career. Well, 5,000 yards passing in your first 3 years isn't that big of a deal.
It isn't what it used to be, right.
Over a three-year span, it's nothing.
Right.
But 2,500 rushing, like he's...
I mean, he has to hold up is my biggest
worry.
That's
going to be the issue with him, and that's something I'm sure the Ravens are wrestling with right now.
Of course.
When they're talking contract with this guy, you know, Lamar, we love you, we love what you do, but what you do is not conducive to you getting a long-term contract.
Like, right, right.
You know, it's the same, you know, the analytics people say you don't pay running backs. Well, should you pay a running quarterback?
That's taking a lot of hits, and, you know, I remember having this conversation about Cam Newton 5 years ago. Like,
he's 32 and he's breaking down.
Right. Do we want to reel him in to extend his career, or do you just let Cam be Cam and realize he's not going to have
a shelf life?
You know, he's not going to play until he's 38 probably.
I mean, this is what people used to talk about with Roethlisberger.
Right.
He's taking too many sacks. He's not going to play late into his career.
I think the Steelers had that conversation.
And they adjusted.
And they adjusted.
Hey, we got to protect Ben. We want him to play longer into his career. And it worked.
And it worked. Right.
You know, as much as people want to say, well, Todd Haley was this, Todd Haley was that, Todd Haley extended Ben Roethlisberger's career.
That's why he was brought in.
Yeah, which is why he was brought in. They changed the way they played.
I know it's not quite apples to apples. But Michael Vick isn't even in the consideration for Hall of Fame.
Correct.
And what Lamar's
been... He was doing what Lamar did before Lamar.
The first 4 years of his
career.
Randall
Cunningham is not
right
in Hall of Fame consideration, and he was that guy.
Right. I mean, super dynamic. One of the best players of their position when they were right, but didn't put together Hall of Fame careers. Yeah. You know, I mean, Vick's first year were wow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And, you know, you see that... You know, obviously people in Pittsburgh are familiar with Cordell Stewart.
Sure.
And you saw a couple of years where he was, you know, he had the numbers. You know, obviously 97, 2001, he was a team MVP, a Pro Bowl player. But the years in between there are more like what happens to some of the running quarterbacks. RG3s and guys
RG3
that
and Kaepernick. The shelf, Kaepernick's a little weird, but right.
But the shelf life for those guys is completely different.
It is.
The lifespan is completely different.
Who's proven they can play 12 years doing that?
I mean, Vic did, but there was some time off in between, and he wasn't the same guy when he came back.
Right.
Still dangerous as a runner, but not.
I mean, even when he came to Philly.
Steve Young comes into the...
Yeah, but he changed too. I mean, he could run, no doubt, but...
But he was a great passer.
Yeah, Walsh changed him. You know what I mean? Like, who's done it that they've relied... And that scares me a little bit with Josh Allen, too.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. I can't put Lamar in that list yet. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the Lamar tier where you could say, yeah, if you do it for 10 more years, great. And the quarterbacks have to win.
I was watching. We got Good Morning Football on here, and they were talking about the same subject. And one of them brought up Chase Young. I'm like,
he's played one season
in the league. Come on, that's
he has a talent. I mean, he has the it wouldn't blow me away if he ends up.
That's like putting Trevor Lawrence on that list. He hasn't thrown an NFL pass like
Zion Williamson or something. You're done. You played one playoff game and you were Rookie of the Year.
They did bring up Minkah Fitzpatrick though.
That's a possibility.
If he continues to put up five or six interceptions every year over the span of, you're going to have a lot of interceptions by the end of your career.
And I don't care what position you are. If you're, this is the AB argument, if you're one of the very best at your position for 5 years.
Let alone the best.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're at the top of the list or in the conversation for best at your position for a handful of years, and the year or two before that and the year or two after that, you're still a Pro Bowler, that's hard to keep you out.
Yeah.
And Minkah's in the middle of that.
What about Derrick Henry?
I think he's a yes.
I think if his career ended right now, probably not. A couple more years of doing what, you know, even just...
Back-to-back winning the title.
Even just compiling some stats here the next couple of years.
Right. I think his freakiness helps a little bit, too.
But the early part of his career hurts him, though.
I mean, Deion Lewis got as many snaps as he did to start his career.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I mean, that looks a little crazy as we speak now. But I mean, Henry's last few years, yes, I think so. He's a standout player, different than the norm. You know, I think it helps if you're not the, the cookie cutter.
He has three, in five seasons in the NFL, he has 3,000-yard seasons.
Okay.
He has 5,860 yards. Now, remember, he had 2,000 of those last year.
Right, and last 2 years he's won the rushing title.
Yeah.
I think he might need two more.
He's already 26.
He might need two more good years.
Yeah.
I mean, 2,000-yard years might get him in. Okay. I mean,
because he doesn't have the receiving numbers.
No.
I mean,
Touchdown numbers would be awesome.
He's got 76 catches in 5 years.
Yeah, and he'll get 10 this year. Yeah. You know. There's a couple backs. Like, Zeke Elliott's on a pace.
Yeah, and he just turned 24
or 5.
25.
Yeah. How about like Kamara and McCaffrey? They've put pretty good, you know, works, especially Kamara, because McCaffrey's injuries are
it's really tough to do at that position. Because
I was just thinking running backs of this era.
You know, people used to ding Jerome Bettis when his name came up late in his career. Well, he was just hanging on at the end of his career. Most backs are.
Yeah.
You know, not every back.
Adrian Peterson's been hanging on for 5 years.
Yeah, right.
Frank Gore's been
not everybody's Barry Sanders, you know?
Right, right. I mean, I think Gore and Peterson both go in. They've been hangers on forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just people don't invest in older guys. It doesn't mean you can't play, but it makes it tough.
Anybody else on that under 30 list that you look at?
I bet there's a ton. I was just thinking of running backs, actually. Actually, pull up one name for me, because I mention this guy a lot as a Hall of Famer. And he's not the best in the league. Mike Evans. Mike Evans came in the league remarkably young and has just been super consistent every step of the way. He just got a ring last year. He probably has 5 to 8 more years if he wants. Like, receivers are going to be tough in this era because numbers are watered down compared to everybody else. But I think that's like the beginning of a Hall of Fame career.
He's got 532 catches. He's 27 years old.
He's only 27, right.
8,266 yards. My question with him is he going to be durable enough?
Well, he got to stand the test of time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he does it year after year.
Because he's played 7 years in the league. He's only played all 16 games 3 times.
Okay.
He's one of those guys that's always seemingly nicked up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's fair.
Devontae Adams is a guy.
Yeah.
You know, you look at. I mean,
the receivers in general.
Yeah.
I think. Well, I guess some of them are older. The Hopkins of the world, I think, go, and obviously Julio. Odell's no longer on that stretch.
No.
I mean, he was very much
the
on
injuries
the trajectory.
Ruined. You know,
3 years ago, he'd have been on that list.
Yeah.
At the top of the list. I could probably come up with 15 names. I'm just sitting here, kind of scanning teams in my head. Some of these corners, like, it's way too early to say, like, Tre'Davious White or, you know, Lattimore or something. I mean, the corners are a little up and down year to year. You got to do it 5-6 years in a row.
Obviously, Aaron Donald, but he's 30 now, so.
I mean, he could quit and be done.
Yeah.
He's in. Probably a lot of edge rushers. I mean, if you're going to say T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett can't be too far behind. I mean, I think there's some no-brainers that people don't think are no-brainers, like Bobby Wagner.
But he's over 30 now.
He's over 30. I mean, he could quit and be done, I think, you know, some of those type of guys. Just scanning teams in my head here as we go. A guy like Devontae Adams, to me, has a lot of work to do to be a yes. And he's done great work lately. Or even like Michael Thomas. I mean, Michael Thomas's last year did not help his cause at all.
I mean, he's really only had two great years.
And I think it's like 3 or 4. I mean, he came in the league at a record-setting pace, but then it dried up.
Devontae Adams has he's 28, like Mike Evans, 546 career catches, 6,500 yards, 62 touchdowns.
The touchdowns are amazing.
The touchdowns are ridiculous.
He had like 18 last year.
He's had 4 years already in his career with double-digit touchdowns, including 18 last year.
But he needs to do it for 4 more years.
Well, he needs to keep playing with Aaron Rodgers.
And he's only got one more of those. You know.
But even so, you're going to put him with, you know, some slappy at quarterback, and he's going to be the number one target. And
But for how much longer? I mean, think about receivers this year. I mean, like, Larry's going. I think Hopkins is going. Julio's in.
Again, this goes back to our Hines Ward argument.
Like, right. All those guys are ahead of Ward.
Yeah.
How about A.J. Green?
No.
I think he's a no. I mean, it's a bad taste in your mouth lately, but I think he's a no.
Yeah.
I don't think he did it long enough at a high enough level.
He just couldn't. Again, the injury issues with him. He played 16 games. I mean, he did have some years early in his career, four years where he played 16 games. But right now he's 32, and he's at 649 career receptions.
Yeah. And
he's not going to get many more.
No. His last 2 years have destroyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a no. I mean, he'll be on the ballot, and he'll be a conversation.
Yeah.
But I think he's a no.
Just another one of those Bengals who were the Hall of Good, but not Hall of
Fame. Yeah, right. I think Geno Atkins is Hall of Good, too.
Yeah, but there'll be a big push for those guys.
No, there will be.
You know, just because. But the big thing is you never won on the big stage.
That's a big
part of it.
Doesn't help at all.
You know.
So I'm scanning the
list. So, yeah, I mean, they'll be like Chris Jones.
Oh, he's got a shot.
Yeah.
He's got to keep it up.
Right.
You know, and he should be on a good team. He's in the – I was thinking actually some defensive tackles. Like, he doesn't count as the under 30 group, but like Fletcher Cox. Farron Donald's not there. He's – probably the best for a stretch.
He'll get some push, but it's tough for defensive tackles, too.
It is. He did win a Super Bowl recently.
Yeah.
That helps. I think he'll be a good conversation.
I mean, he's a really good football player. But
yeah. He might have to rebound and have a really big year this year again and not fade away.
On a bad team. Yeah.
I think Khalil Mack goes. You mentioned Von Miller before.
Yeah, probably Khalil Mack.
Yeah. I mean, Khalil Mack's done a long time.
Get a Defensive Player of the Year award.
Yeah, that's helpful.
That helps.
That absolutely helps.
It definitely helps. But let's take another break. He is Matt Williamson.
I could probably come with a million other names. I didn't know we were going down that road. But if you just go team by team, there's a big group of the under 30s, and then there's the probably are done, and then there's the might need a little more guys.
Yeah.
You know?
But they all can't get in. It goes back to our conversation in the previous segment. You're only getting five a year.
That's right. It makes it tough.
Makes it difficult. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take another break. We'll be back with more right after this.
When you want black and gold football talk, you want SNR.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's Monday morning here on The Drive, and of course the Steelers are back at practice again today.
Yeah.
They'll practice again tomorrow and then head to Philadelphia on Wednesday for their game Thursday night. Matt, I'm looking here at ESPN's did come up with their first FPI.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Rankings here, which they put into their computer, how it kicks out.
How it spits out.
What it spits out. Makes me wonder, are some of these projections, some of these computer models, are they overlooking the Steelers a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I think there's some unknowns.
Yes. And everyone knows I'm not analytically driven, but I really respect analytics, and there's a lot of indicators over many, many years that you're going to regress to the mean if you win a super high percentage of one-score games. If you recover all your fumbles, if your opponents miss a lot of field goals, I mean, things like this.
Those things even out.
Or if you're super injured 1 year, or, you know, like it probably won't happen again. But what they don't account for, and I think Seattle's in this mold where Seattle wins a very high percentage of their one-score games for 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are really good at winning one-score games. You know, like there's no analytics for what Tomlin, Ben, culture bring to the table. And I think that's a hard thing whenever you spit these numbers out. That, okay, I know I've heard so many of these people that I respect and know more than I do a lot about analytics, that's for sure. And they'll say, I understand that Tomlin's never had a winning season, but all my numbers tell me the Steelers are bound to regress.
Yeah.
A losing season. Even though they won a lot of games last year, they're going to win six or seven games this year. It's kind of like, well,
you don't typically see
the opposite
in the NFL. A team win 12 games 1 year and then go back to six
to
wins.
Seven or six.
Yeah,
or, you know,
that's a big. The same reason you don't see a lot of teams go from six wins to 12.
Absolutely,
it's really difficult to do.
And actually, that's another analytics nerdy thing. Is that's the plexiglass principle they call it. Like if you're a 5, 6, 12. You almost always go to eight.
You go back to,
no one takes that big a jump in this league. You know, you don't get Shaq or, you know, Duncan or Zion or somebody just falls in your lap, and all of a sudden, you know, you get Sidney Crosby or McDavid or somebody. And all of
because
a sudden
this is a 22-man sport, and actually a 53-man sport where every guy in your roster matters. One player typically isn't going to make
– draft Lawrence or whoever. They don't make that big impact in year one. I mean, maybe what if the Eagles traded for Deshaun Watson? Maybe they could be a team like that. I mean, but rarely does a huge quarterback change teams. So history shows if you take a big jump, usually you go backwards. So to my point, and the same thing's true the other way. You know, like it's rare that the Steelers would be a winning organization for that many years and then lose five more games than they won the year before. Like it doesn't happen that way, generally speaking, because these guys know how to win.
Right. There's something to be said for knowing how to win. It was one of the reasons why you looked at the Browns the last couple of years and go, you have to learn how to win.
Right. And I think that's a head coaching and slash organization thing. And I fear that they did for the first time since they've been back. And I look around the league, I know that there's 10 head coaches in this league that know how to win, the Tomlins and Carrolls and whatever. And I think there's another 5 to 10 that might. Or learning. You know, like, I'm not sure Shanahan and I think McVay does, you know. I mean, those guys are young. They've won some games. Shanahan's only one good year.
Here are the FPIs, according to ESPN's, teams most likely to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Kansas City at 19%. They're the leader.
Okay.
Tampa Bay at 15%.
Tampa's pretty strong.
Buffalo at 9%.
I agree with them being third.
Green Bay at 6%.
I think the NFC is a lot easier than the AFC, so they have an easier path.
Green Bay's at 6. Baltimore's at 6. San Francisco's at 6.
Okay. Baltimore, to me, is the best of those three teams, but they're in the AFC, and that's a tougher path.
Cleveland is at 5%, as are the Rams and the Seahawks.
I don't think the Seahawks are in that neighborhood. It's a little rich on the Browns, but they wouldn't be far off of that.
And then the other team that's on the list is a top 10 is Tennessee at 3%. I don't see the Titans as a Super Bowl contender.
I don't either. I think their defense will still be really bad.
Like, I saw those two teams play last year, the Steelers and the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers were clearly the better team for most of that game. The Titans were at home. They came storming back.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Steelers dominated the first, I don't know, three quarters of that game.
Yeah, I think Titans' offense has a chance to be really good. They lost their offense coordinator.
You think Julio Jones plays 17 games? Because I sure don't.
No, I think they're.
Do you think A.J. Brown plays 17 games? Because I sure don't. His history has shown that he misses
time,
just because of the physical style he plays. Do you think Derrick Henry can hold up under 17 games and get another? He's already bucking the trend here with back-to-back seasons with 400 touches.
Right.
History shows, and I know he's a physical freak,
right?
But the injury's coming with him,
right? No, it's bound to. I worry a lot more about the defense than the offense too.
And their defense.
The defense was horrible last year, and they did a lot to change it, but that doesn't mean they made it a lot better.
It's the same argument that people use with the Steelers' offensive line. Well, their offensive line was horrible last year, and they made all these changes. We don't know if it's going to be any good. But you
address the problem, though.
You think the Titans' defense is going to be better. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the Browns. You think the Browns' defense is going to be better.
Right.
Based on hope?
I mean, all three of those aspects, they have nowhere to go but up. They probably be better. But it doesn't mean that they're going to be good. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to be above average. Yeah, I don't know if the Titans are a Super Bowl contender.
I think that because the Steelers didn't replace the guys that they lost with household names, established players.
Oh, that kills them.
They're getting overlooked on all these things, and yet you watch Alex Highsmith play in the preseason opener, and he just continues to do what he did throughout training camp thus far. And you're like, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I know this is probably a different topic for a different segment, but I believe if we a year from now when we're talking about the Steelers, we're going to say Kendrick Green and Josh Dotson are foundational, long-term.
Kevin Dotson.
Yeah, what I call him, Josh. That's the old, the old Redskins receiver. Yeah, Washington receiver. I think we're going to talk about those guys like they're multi-contract Steelers 8 to 10 year starters answers. You know,
I think I think you could end up seeing that with one of the tackles, at least one of the tackles.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. But I'm very confident for the future of the center left guard position.
Yeah.
You know, if people analyzing the team, you couldn't be now. I mean, I understand that, but I don't know about Tennessee. Really, what's the difference between the Titans and Dallas? I mean, Dallas's offense probably has
Dallas
more
has
talent.
A better offense, yeah.
Right. I mean, their defense was horrendous, but their path in the division isn't much harder.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I mean, I look at it and they're complete. They have their complete rankings here, and the Steelers come in.
One of my problems with those kind of rankings too, and everybody does it because the best way to do them is run 10,000 simulations. But everybody ends up really close to 8-8. And that's not how the league works. You know, like if you run enough simulations, you have some year that Brady gets hurt and Tampa wins 5 games.
Yeah.
But every year in a 17-game schedule, and it's always been 16, somebody wins 2, 3, 4. But in these, like if you're a 6-win team projection, that's horrible. But the league doesn't work that way. Someone's going to win 14.
Right.
But it's, you know.
I'm looking here at their win projections, and they have the Steelers projected for 8.2 wins this year, which is 19th best in the league.
Right. Like that,
you're in the bottom half of the league.
Best, right.
But you look
slightly
at it.
Slightly below 500.
Yeah. Kansas City comes in with 11.5 wins. The worst team is Houston with 5 wins.
They're not going to win 5 games.
You got Detroit at 5.9 and the Jets at 6.4. Those are your bottom 3 teams.
Right.
There's no way in hell. The worst 3 teams in the league win 5 and 6 games.
Right, right. Yeah, the top 3 picks in the draft will not accumulate 16 wins between them.
The same way
no
that
chance.
There's no way in hell that in a 17-game season, the team with the best record has 11 wins this year.
Right. I mean, 11-6 isn't going to be the number 1 seed.
You know, people were talking about the Steelers team last year. You know, they're going to be bad. They go out and win 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Again, right. As we started the conversation, you don't typically go from 12 wins to 6 or 7.
No, it's very rare. I mean, you could have a disaster season.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that these don't account for is 2 or 3 teams are going to have a disaster season. You know, like, let's say the Bears or some team that you have. I mean, it could be the Steelers, but, I mean, they're a little more of a foundation than some of these other ones. Someone that has 7 or 8 win projection that gets hit hardest by injuries in the whole league. Well, they're going to be picking in the top 5 probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's going to happen to somebody.
Or just as a, you know, if you look at what happened to the Falcons last year.
Right, right. Exactly. Perfect example.
You know, 3 fluky losses at the beginning of the year that you're like, oh, I can't believe that happened.
And end up, what, the 4th pick in the draft, the 5th pick in the draft. Right, 4th.
It just happens.
Mm-hmm. And it happens every year. And some of those teams are bound to rebound more, but they're going to have good teams finishing low. But it's still rare for Seattle, Pittsburgh. I always bring up the Patriots last year. That Patriot roster was horrendous.
Their
projection went 7-9.
For the Patriots is 9.3 wins, which is actually just outside the top 10. That's just behind Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what?
Their certain strength of schedule is very
easy. I get the strength of schedule is bad, but the roster is not. Like, they spent a bunch of money this offseason, and they brought back some names.
Oh, yeah.
But are they any good?
I think we disagree a little on the Patriots.
Nelson, they spent money on Nelson Aguilar. I don't want to hear anything about the Patriots. Like, you spent money on Nelson freaking Aguilar.
And
like,
who was
big
the other
money.
Receiver they gave money to? The Niners guy who
like,
is
two, they gave
starter.
$30 million to 2 receivers
Kendrick Bourne.
Who wouldn't be in the Steelers' top 5.
100% agree. That's a different conversation, though, to me. I think their offseason was very foolish. They spent really poorly.
You can't tell me that offense is going to be any better than it was last year.
Oh, I think it'll be better than last year. I think the quarterback play has to be better. I think they've
based
one of the best
on
lines in the league.
Cam Newton is shot. Cam Newton hasn't had a good season in 4
years.
At least
they have a backup plan now.
Okay, so they throw a rookie in there.
I mean,
how good is he going to be?
Any receivers, and now you have at least 2 tight ends. I mean, I think their passing game is going to be amongst the worst in the league.
I just think their offense is atrocious
terrible.
Last year.
It was like the worst in the league.
They had 6 touchdown passes in a 16
right.
game season.
Well, it's going to be better than that, is my point.
Okay, but it's still one of the worst offenses in the league.
Agreed. I agree with that.
So you can't say they're going to be much better this year, but the offense stinks. The defense is solid.
It is. But
you're telling me their offense is going to be better than Pittsburgh's?
No, I don't think it is.
So Pittsburgh's defense is better, right?
Agreed.
Okay. So how are the Steelers markedly worse than the Patriots? other than the strength of schedule.
The strength of schedule is big.
I'm
going to cite Football Outsiders on this one.
The offense stinks.
The Football Outsiders projection in their book has the Steelers and Patriots almost identical. You know, a lot of questions on offense, great defenses. Those guys do factor in history. These teams know how to win. They give them some benefits of doubt. Along those lines, you know, the Patriots are always in the top five in special teams, so they think they'll be better on special teams than Pittsburgh or most teams. And they really said if they played the equal schedule, we would have the exact same win total for the Patriots and Steelers. I heard Aaron Schatz talking about this. He's a big Patriot guy, actually. And he's like, but we have the Patriots winning like a game and a half more because the Steelers' schedule's brutal. You know, that's outside their control. I mean, and we don't know what, you know, these opponents will look like in Week 12.
Right.
But I do think strength of schedule is something that's valid. And the Steelers have a really tough one.
No, I get that 100%. But I just don't, like, I just hear a lot of national report. The Patriots look really good this year, and they're not good.
See, I think
the Dolphins last year weren't good.
I think
they just played a crap schedule.
No, that's true. I know we got to get out of here, but the 2020 Patriots were very similar to the 2019 Steelers to me. 7-9, 8-8. Brady's gone.
They don't have Ben Roethlisberger coming back.
They don't.
They've got the ghost of Cam Newton and a rookie quarterback.
Agreed, but. We don't. Ben's not Ben either. I mean, Ben's not
better than Cam Newton.
I agree with that, and I agree. They have a better offense. I think that.
But anyways, we got to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with hour two right after this.